Scandal-ridden Credit Suisse announces a sweeping overhaul of its business. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Swiss bank is scaling back part of its investment banking business that's been under the spotlight for a number of scandals, including fraudulent loans and corporate espionage. Instead, Credit Suisse will pour $3.3 billion into private banking and hire 500 more bankers there over the next 3 years. The company's boss says it's all aimed at risk management and, quote, helping to foster a culture that reinforces the importance of accountability and responsibility. Owen Walker is the European banking correspondent at the Financial Times. He told me Credit Suisse is not the first bank to make such a move.
This is part of a long-term strategy which has been the focus for previous chief executives. It's very much replicating what its neighbour in Zurich, UBS, has been doing, which is really focusing on private banking and servicing the needs of ultra-wealthy clients and drawing back on its investment banking operations and kind of recognising that on a global scale, it's very hard to compete with the big American investment banks. Some of the changes announced today are more in relation to a big loss it suffered at the start of the year in regards to a family office called Archegos Capital.
This scandal isn't the only one that sort of rocked Credit Suisse, is it? And that is what's also at the heart of this decision.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Archegos was probably the cherry on the top in terms of scandals which have hit the bank over several years now. Within 2 or 3 weeks in March this year, it lost $5.5 billion from the collapse of Archegos, and this had just followed the suspension of $10 billion worth of funds, which it had to suspend on the collapse of a UK specialist finance business called Greensill, and all that money was invested on behalf of its ultra-rich clients. So again, that has really soured its reputation amongst its clients. These were just on top of several scandals the bank has faced in recent years, from dodgy deals in Mozambique to corporate spying on staff to involvement in just a complete range of scandalous practices over the past few years.
So is private banking just a less risky area than investment banking for the bank to be focused on?
I think that's basically how it views the market. I mean, if you only have to look at the experience of the world's richest, say, 1% over the pandemic, and their assets have actually soared because of the amount of money that's been injected into the markets from governments across the world. So they've very much benefited from that capital injection. And I think the likes of Credit Suisse and UBS see this as a much safer area for them to play in, higher margins, less risky. And, you know, I mentioned some of the scandals they've been involved with. Pretty much all of these have emanated from either their investment bank or their asset management business, and there had been calls for Credit Suisse to actually sell off its asset management business. So yes, I think risk reduction is very much the order of the game here.
Owen Walker from the Financial Times, thanks for breaking this down for us.
Thanks very much.
Well, shares of Credit Suisse have clawed back early losses in Switzerland. They're now up 0.2%. Checking some other numbers now, European benchmarks are up in the 0.2% to 0.4% range. The FTSE 100 here in London is edging higher ahead of the Bank of England's policy decision today. Many investors expect the central bank will raise interest rates from pandemic-era lows to tame rising inflation. We visited a farm on England's eastern coast to find out how rising prices are hurting business. If you missed our coverage, you can find me on Twitter at Victoria Craig for a link. New international research today shows global emissions have almost completely bounced back to pre-pandemic levels. Lockdowns kept people at home and therefore using less fuel for their cars or for factory production. The BBC's Matt McGraw has more on the findings in the latest Global Carbon Budget report.
It surprised scientists that they've rebounded so quickly. They thought we might get a couple of more years out of it. And it's not quite exactly the same amount as dropped last year, because while coal and gas use have increased, oil use hasn't gone up as much. That may be reflecting the fact that more people are perhaps working from home still or not traveling as much. So it's a surprise to scientists, undoubtedly, that they've come back so quickly. And I think it is a stark contrast to what countries are planning and promising to say here today about coal and other fossil fuels.
That's the BBC's Matt McGraw reporting there. Well, with lower carbon emissions targets, many nations are turning to renewable sources of energy. The small West African country, the Gambia, has a target of reaching net zero by 2050. But financial constraints are likely to frustrate that progress, as the BBC's Thomas Nandy reports.
25-year-old Hadi Sabali uses solar-powered washing machines to provide laundry services. important electricity.
The importance of solar in our lives cannot be overemphasized, unlike the normal electricity grid. With the grid, you are likely to get interrupted by power outages.
The Fandima Center is training more women to run businesses on renewable energy. It also produces solar energy, but the problem is it cannot sell it. The government says there's no policy to regulate tariffs. They want to make renewables a significant part of the country's energy mix, but little has been achieved. And that's because the Gambia relies heavily on fossil fuels to generate power. Off the coast, it also plans to drill for oil. Alpha Jallo is the Director of Climate Change at the Ministry of Environment.
We are so indebted. The oil, I think, is the fastest way we think we can reduce that debt. The resources that we have on renewables and the opportunities, if they are all implemented, they will offset any other emission that will come from oil.
Meanwhile, these farmers here say reduced rainfall is affecting them.
If things continue like this, the only option we'll have will be to sit at home and stop paying for our children to go to school.
For some rural women, their livelihood is threatened.
We can't get anything from our rice fields because of climate change. Poverty is increasing.
Omar Sambo, an environmental science lecturer at the University of the Gambia, says the government needs to double up efforts.
The agricultural sector needs it. Almost every other sector needs the renewable energy to move.
Until then, the farmers here remain hopeful that things will change for the better.
That's the BBC's Thomas Natty reporting from the Gambia there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.